Hey everyone, welcome to What I Listen To This Week. We're back for another episode and we've got a full panel and some fresh blood, which is really exciting.
Fresh
so
blood.
Joining us today, we've got Sergio and John is back for his second episode. It's Melanie, hi, and we have Ellen who's fresh blood. And so we're going to...
Welcome, Ellen.
We're going to do a little intro for Ellen. So hey, Ellen, how's it going?
Good, good.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I'm Ellen, and I spend a lot of time here at Longmont Public Media because Sergio and I are going to get married soon, and I am a speech-language pathologist. Yep.
Nice.
That's me.
Yeah, so Ellen is the better half of Sergio, as we like to say. We as in everybody.
The better two-thirds.
Better two-thirds.
Cool. Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us today and filling out the panel, Ellen. We're excited. All right. So let's dive in. We always do an icebreaker. It's a different question every time. And so John has brought a great icebreaker. So I'm going to have him introduce it and then kick us off.
All right. So my icebreaker is, it's interesting to me how people judge people according to the music they listen to. You all of a sudden start to figure people out. And I was thinking on the way here, you go out on a date. So here's my icebreaker. You go out on a date. It's the first time you've met this person and you're in the car and they put this song on and turn it up and it's a big red flag to you. You're just, oh, not that song. It's just, you don't know that... that this date's going to work out at all here in the first 5 minutes when you're on your trip here. So.
All right. So why don't you kick it off? What's your
song?
Kick
it off. I'm trying to think. Well, back in my dating years, this is going to probably date me. It would definitely be, I got to say, Michael Jackson. I didn't like Michael Jackson. I didn't like disco. I suppose I like real poppy stuff that I heard over and over again. Would always be a bit of a nightmare. Mm-mm. But
so any Michael Jackson song
or like off the wall Michael Jackson, because that's kind of disco-y.
Yeah. Okay. So but you know, it goes the other way too. You'd be, oh, they like this music, but yeah. Mm-hmm. The bad song, any disco-y stuff that came up, and this dates me back to the 1970s. Bee Gees. Yep.
What's wrong with the Bee Gees?
I know. I actually like them a little bit more right now than I did. But yeah, just there with their little tight pants and their, you know, furry chests and dancing and just, you know, I wanted my girlfriends to listen to Pink Floyd back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
I guess I'll go. I feel like I have so many oh no no's. U2, Pearl Jam, Bob Seger. But I think, like, generally speaking, if it was like sort of pop country, like not like old school country, like not like Johnny Cash kind of country, but like the pop country that you hear on like, you know, like top 40 kind of radio stations. I don't even know any of the artists, honestly. Right. But I think, you know, something like that, it would be an immediate, like, I'm jumping out of a moving vehicle.
Right, yeah.
And it's like nothing against really like old, like kind of old school country, but it's like that country pop for me. I can't do it. And even when I'm like, today, like if I'm in a bar or a restaurant and they're playing it over and over again, it's like, what am I doing here? I can't do this. So, yeah, other than those like specific bands, I think, that would be the biggest. Oh no, no for me.
All right. You know, what's kind of funny is this a long time ago, before Sergio, I went on a date with this guy. And he told me that his favorite music was death metal. And I was like, I remember that being like, oh, that's just like not enticing to me. And he also loved Stephen King. And now I'm with Sergio, who used to love death metal and love Stephen King. So I just think it's funny because that was like definitely a turnoff to me. But apparently Sergio had a lot of.
I still listen.
They're really good. I know, but
sorry, Stephen King.
I think I don't love when like it's too screamy. Like I feel like they're so like they're struggling so much that they're gonna like,
yeah,
maybe murder me. You know, but you don't give off those vibes, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think my song would be if Ellen and I went on a or if Ellen played the song "It's Friday" by Rebecca Black.
Oh my God. And I liked it.
And she loved
it. And you weren't playing it ironically. Yeah.
Person was like,
I would immediately kill off the date. No more. Done.
Date over.
Date over. That is my song.
Yeah, it's valid.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm. I used to have a manager who would play that on Fridays, like in team calls, and I was like,
oh,
dude. Yeah. Dude, you're the worst. Okay.
So great now, question.
I now I have a lot of ammunition for a future song.
Yep.
It'll be you two or something. Yep. I'll bring in something and just watch you have to listen to it with your headphones on and not throw them on the floor.
I think in the book, I think honestly the U2 thing is I read High Fidelity, the book, at a very young age.
And there
are five bands that will be killed off come the musical revolution in the book, and I think U2 is one of them, and Simply Red is another one. I can't remember the other three, but I feel like I read that at a very, like, my brain was still forming a lot of like neurons and stuff, and so there was just something like ingrained in me at a young age that was like, no, that's a big no-no.
Good.
Okay, let's get into the music. That was a really good icebreaker. Thank you, John. I liked it. Sergio, who's up first?
So the first song we're going to listen to is "Looking at the World from" it just cuts off
"The Bottom of a Well." That's
from "The
mine.
Bottom of the Well" by Mike Doty.
Doty, yeah.
Doty.
Yep.
Anything you want to say before we listen to it?
No, let's just jump right in.
That Cuban girl that brought me low, she had that skin so fine, red lips rose like now. Her mouth was white and sweet as well. But now in endless hours I'm dreaming of her smell. I feel as if I am looking at the world from the bottom of a well. If I am looking at the world from the bottom of a well, lonely, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down. Beat it lonely, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to. For all the days that I have run, I sought to lose that cloud that's blacking out the sun. My train will come some one day soon, and when it comes I'll ride bound from night to noon. I feel as if I am looking at the world from the bottom of a well. I feel as if I am looking at the world. Painless face, blacked out thoughts you'll be rejecting. Lonely, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down. Beat it lonely, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to bat it down, and the only way to beat is to. Let's get down to business now. I feel as if I am looking at the world from
All right. So, yeah, so that's Mike Doty. He is the founding member of Soul Coughing, which, if you remember from the 90s, the Super Bon Bon song that was really popular in like 90, I want to say like 96, 97. That was sort of how he got his like start, but he left that band in like the early 2000s. This particular song is from 2005. The album's called Hottie Melodic, which I like that name of the album. I think it's cool. So then he did like some solo stuff, but I feel like he has like a million little side projects, and I think he's got a new group that he's playing with. I feel like I've heard the Colorado Sound play them quite a bit. But anyway, yeah, I chose the song because this is, it's just one of those ones that's like, it's sort of a back catalog song, but it occasionally will come up in one of my playlists that I'm listening to. And whenever it does, it's sort of, and I like rediscover it. I'm like, oh yeah, like that's, I like that. I like his lyrics. They're often kind of like funny or interesting or unique. I think he studied with the same like poetry professor or mentor as Ani DeFranco. So, kind of, you know, lyrics are obviously like a big thing for him. But yeah, it's sort of interesting because like I think, you know, superficially he doesn't have like a great singing voice, right? Like it's not something where you're like, oh man, that guy, he's got pipes. But there's something about how unique it sounds that like gets me to go back and listen to it, where I'm kind of like, it sounds different and interesting. And I like the sort of the instrumentation and the mixing in the song. It's very kind of all over the place, but it's fun. Like I love when the strings come in the second verse, like they're there, but they're like pulled up a little bit, which is kind of cool. And the like, guitarist at the end kind of remind me a little bit of Matthew Sweet, sort of. But anyway, yeah, so that's my spiel there. Thoughts?
I liked it. I've heard it before, but it's something about sitting here with the headphones on where you start to listen to the lyrics and what they all mean. And so I did like the lyrics a lot. I also like the percussion, you know, the rim shots and, you know, just the drums, the way they kick in. And yeah, I always think for me, it's kind of a fine line sometimes where you get an artist that will just repeat the chorus over and over and over again. And he did it just right. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't go, I was hoping he wouldn't do it too much, you know, yeah. But no, I thought, you know, I could see that looking at the world from the bottom of the well, you know, just a tunnel vision, and just seeing that little slice of sky. And so I thought that's an interesting way to look at it, and kind of a positive song.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it sort of, yeah, has some dark, like, point of view, but there's a lot of like positive within it, sort of like an optimistic kind of twist. And
yeah, he's battling loneliness.
Yeah,
he's not just giving into it.
Yeah, it's funny because he has another song on this album that's that I almost brought that I didn't bring because it is so repetitive.
Oh,
I forget what it's called, but it's just like, yeah, the chorus is just like over and over and over again. And it's a great song, but it's like, it can be a little bit much. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you said that.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I loved the lyrics. Yeah. It was very, yeah, it had a good vibe to the song. It did remind me of U2 a little bit. Like it just kind of gave, like at first I was like, is it U2? Kind of sound like Nickelback a little bit. I mean, I like Nickelback. I don't have any problems with them, but no, it was a fun song. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was fun too. I could imagine like being on a road trip or something and like playing the song, and like it just seems like something that I need to be like super focused on. And but I agree. I think it wasn't like repetitive enough where I feel like I would get, you know, overwhelmed by that. So I liked it.
I think a song you definitely, I would hate listening to that song at a low volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a song that just has to be at least a 5.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because when I was listening to it earlier today, I was like, I had to put my headphones on to listen to it. It's just, it's one of those songs that's so much better when you can hear it, that, you know, in your head. And I feel like this one made it to not like top 40, but I feel like it was played a lot in like public radio stations. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's different when you listen to it in the headphones. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Awesome. Nice. Great song. Up next is the song called You Don't Understand Me by The Raconteurs.
Raconteurs. Yep. Yep.
Do you want to say anything?
We'll just wait. We'll listen to it first.
All right.
Or maybe I should say something. Maybe, yeah, I think we will. So it's Jack White. For no, kind of the whites before the White Stripes. And he's playing piano on this. And maybe when you hear it, see if you you get the feeling that here's a guitarist playing the piano. Because I felt like I really see this. I feel like, wow, that's when you get an amazing guitarist playing the piano. It really starts it's a different take on, you know, piano for sure. So,
all right. Well, here is You Don't Understand Me by The Raconteurs.
All right. So that song, I worked for a while, I worked for the Boulder International Film Festival and did all the youth film competitions. And we got films submitted from all over the world, from kids. And those films were probably 80% so absolutely filled with angst and teen dread. And having to go watch those films, you know, when we had judges looking at them, it'd just be, oh, come on, guys, give me something light, you know? and what I did, you know, because we only had, we just had a few winners. It was pretty competitive. All the films that were nominated, I made into a montage to a song that fit the mood of what we got. And so I can see that as that plays, I can see, you know, here's the song from Fairview or whatever, you know, from all over the world. But anyway, I just thought, I just love the piano in that. And I thought it was pretty unusual for a rock song to have that piano solo like that, which isn't not amazingly virtuistic or whatever. It was just very effective, I thought.
yeah, it's funny. So I've heard that song a bunch of times, and I know the Raconteurs, and I've never thought about that song in the context of like listen to the piano as if a guitar player is like writing this, right? I've never really thought about it like that, because I've always just kind of thought like, well, it's an interesting, like, it's a very Jack White piano solo. Like, it just feels like a very Jack White piano solo. But yeah, I think I've never thought about it in that context, and it's so interesting because you're right. It does, like, you can sort of picture that being a guitar solo, but it's just kind of like plunked out on a piano kind of a thing, or it's somebody who doesn't really know how to like solo on a piano, but can do a couple of like little chords here and there and like plunk out a melody.
Yeah.
Because you could almost think like that's probably how the songwriting process went for this song. It was probably like, he was probably just like noodling around, found that little riff, and then it built out from there. And it's cool because that's how the song actually flows too. It starts and ends with that little riff, and then kind of comes to a head in the middle and then back down. But yeah, I've like never really thought about that. And I love them. I always think of the Raconteurs as like the poppier version of the White Stripes. Like, if there's a little bit more like harmonization, there's like more kind of like melody. I mean, not that there isn't melody in White Stripes songs, but I feel like there's a little bit more like lushness added to the songs. It's not just like Meg White banging something out and Jack White like shredding. But yeah, I actually saw them, the Raconteurs, like a million years ago. It was probably like early 2000s.
Did they play that song?
Or? Yeah, I think that, and I like had forgotten that I even saw them until you brought them up. And I think it's nice because now I'm like, I'm going to go back and listen to them. I haven't listened to them in ages. But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was the first time I've listened to or heard that song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. I also loved your song too. I think both these songs would be great just blasting in a car. Right. And I love the progression of it and how the piano ended. Did Jack White do a song for James Bond? Because it kind of gave me like vibes of like, I think it's Quantum of Solace or one of the more recent James Bond films. Like, the piano was like just very similar to that song, like whatever's in James Bond now. It just kind of brought back memories.
I have to get Siri in here.
Or Alexa. Siri, Alexa.
Yeah.
Google, where are you?
My phone starts going off.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I hadn't heard that song before either, but I liked the intro, because I think it got me to think about the piano in a little bit of a different way than I might have, just listening to it without thinking about that. And yeah, I like how it, like, that solo just like brought you back in. Like, it was like very dynamic, like how, you know, throughout the song, I feel like I was like engaged. What's going to happen next? Right. You know? So I really liked that about it. I feel like I want to go back and listen to their album, because I haven't listened to them before. So.
Yeah, I tried to find a music video for that. They don't have one. But they have a live in concert with them playing this on stage, but it's in Barcelona or something. And it's got, you know, translations going across in Spanish, you know.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
But watching him play it, you know, he's just really just wailing away on it. And yeah. It just felt like he was Jimmy Page on the guitar or something like that. So.
I feel like it needs to be like an old rickety upright that's right. like semi out of tune. It's like right. it can't be a shiny grand piano. Like it needs to be something that's like maybe there's like even like a key is like chipped or missing yeah. or something. And he's like playing it out. Like it's almost kind of like eerie the way that it sounds.
I mean, right.
That's what I can kind of like picture if there was a music video.
Because his first guitar, I think, was which he played way into his professional career was like a $78 yeah. plastic guitar
yeah.
that he got as a kid.
Yeah.
So I could see him getting a piano yeah. out of a Goodwill store yeah. and playing it on stage.
Totally.
So I did just Google it, and yeah, Alicia Keys and Jack White did the song Another Way to Die.
It seems like a good combination.
On wow. Quantum of Solace.
I wow. listen to that. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Jack White doing a James Bond song is like, for some reason, those two things don't like fit in my brain together. But that, I mean, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, that's cool. I'm going to listen to that.
I feel like adding in Alicia Keys like makes it a little more James Bond-esque. Yeah. You're like, okay, maybe them together.
She can kind of smooth it out.
Well, anything else? Anything? Good song.
No.
Good song, both of you. All right, my song is up next. I'll preface it by saying I mostly listen to the majority of my music at work. And maybe for the past like 2 weeks, I've been listening to a lot of salsa music, cumbia music, like old Mexican music. But today I decided to listen to the unofficial soundtrack of the show The Idol, which just came out on HBO. And I found a song on there that I forgot. I don't remember what scene it was. Maybe they, it's got to be in the show. Anyway, I listened to it and it just like entranced me. So the song you will listen to is called I Put Something in Your Drink. By Ramsey. Drinking pot. So yeah, that was I Put Something in Your Drink by Ramsey. We were trying to figure out, I don't remember where this song played in the show. I'm assuming during a club scene, which would make sense.
I think it was.
They were like in a bar and kind of, it would kind of make sense. I love, as I kind of mentioned before, like how trance-like it is. And it, I feel like the further it went, the more I got hooked onto the song and the more I wanted to listen to it. I love the line, just watch your face melt, which one do from probably whatever's being put in someone's drink, which is probably not a good idea. Or, you know, two, like the beat kind of dropping after that kind of reminded me a little bit of like Britney Spears, like Toxic or like I'm a Slave for You type, you know, songs. It's also kind of like seance-y in a way, if you could use that as an adjective. Anyway, so that was, yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, I think no, I liked it. I agree with you. I felt that would be, I just felt the total club scene with your rib cage just absorbing that bass line, just a thump, thump, thump. And then it just fogging to that song, you know, just like, because it is trance-like. Yeah. And I think it's really interesting watching a movie, watching a television show, and the way they can effectively use a song and how evocative it all becomes as a package. And absolutely. I think that, you know, like for plays and musicals and whatever, the song and the action combined, you know, it just, people want to get that feeling back. You know, they'll go in to buy the soundtrack and, you know, because it just changes it. And sometimes, yeah, I just was watching Beef. Did you see that on Netflix? But it was, anyway, but this, they had these songs, and then I thought, God, I heard that song 1,000 times before. Now I kind of like it because it just made it the way they used it. But this song also reminded me a little of Prince.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
When he hit the high falsetto.
Yeah.
But I liked, I really liked that sort of dialogue. Mm. What did you do to me? Yeah. I put something. Yeah. So yeah, it's, I could picture it all going down.
Yeah. It was it definitely had like sort of this creepy vibe where the, whatever, like kind of the background beat or something in the beginning of the song, there was like this melody, but it was, it's like what you hear before somebody's going to get murdered on a show or a movie. It's sort of like that dissonance that was like playing over and over again. But it kind of faded as the song went on. And it's almost like it was kind of, it's like this ominous sound because it's like, well, somebody's going to drug you. Like, buckle up. Here it comes. And it was like kind of like, oh, man, this song, like right off the bat, you were like, oh, this is going to be. This is kind of eerie and sort of creepy. But what's so weird about it is, like, even though this is a kind of a creepy song, you also want to dance to it so much. It's like when you were saying, like, those Britney songs, it's kind of similar where it's like, well, if you listen to the lyrics, you're like, I probably shouldn't be dancing to this. Like, this is not, like, healthy, like, lyrics or healthy behavior in the lyrics. But you just can't help it. And I think that's what is so kind of, it's what's like, I think probably what's so, when you say like entranced, it makes sense, right? Because it's like, if you listen to the lyrics and you kind of hear sort of like the weird modulations that she was doing with her vocals was like also very creepy, but interesting. And it's like, if you stop and think about it, you're like, oh yeah, what a creepy song. But it's like, if I heard that in a club, man, I'd be dancing so hard. That sounds amazing. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you said, that's exactly how I felt. And I feel like very unsettled after listening to that song. Mm-hmm. But that's how I felt after watching like this episode, because we watched, you know, this episode of the show. And that's exactly how I felt. And so I feel like they did a really good job like picking that song for the show, because it, and it's funny that you mentioned Prince, because there's like a discussion in the show and they're talking about how Prince is like, they're like, pop music is, you know, it's so superficial. Like, this is what, you know, it is. And then they bring up Prince. They're like, well, what about Prince? He's like real, you know, pop music. So Yeah, it's just interesting that we kind of think of all of those names and things, and the song kind of makes us think about all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know much about the artist. She, all I could find was like on Last FM, and it was like she's based out of LA, mm-hmm. and would just like hold up and write like music for like 16 hours a day, and mm-hmm. kind of got her, I wouldn't say fame, but I guess people started listening to her SoundCloud, mm-hmm. and she writes everything herself, like all the beats, like it's all her.
Oh wow, cool.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so. That's neat. Yep. Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, the last song of the night is called "The Last One" by First Aid Kit. Do you want to say anything before we listen to it?
All you need to know is they are Swedish sisters from Sweden.
Are they Swedish? Are they Swedish sisters?
Yes.
We can explain that inside joke.
Yes.
All right. This next song is called "The Last One" by First Aid Kit.
Boundless desire, how it beats on this hungry heart. When did I become a woman who waits fever for a call? I need a word from you, a touch, a feeling. Oh, so desperate to feel anything. Nobody's ever loved you. You to be the last one I ever loved. I wanna love you like nobody's ever loved you. I want you to be the last one I ever loved. My time.
Yeah. So the reason for the joke about the Swedish sisters, Melanie and I saw they dragged her along to this concert because someone wouldn't go with me. And that's when I bring Melanie in. And they just like said that so many times during the concert. They just kept reminding us where they were from. They're like, and this is our band member, and he's from Sweden, and we are from Sweden, and we are sisters. And it was just kind of funny.
Yeah, over and over and over again. Yeah. And then whenever they play them on the Colorado Sound, they always introduce them as your favorite Swedish sisters. Yeah, so, yeah, it feels like a meme at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But I think it's kind of funny to hear that song after Sergio's song, just because it's like the antithesis.
It really is.
A nice, easy listening to end the night. But yeah, I like this song. Just it's like, yeah, like I said, I was thinking about it as a possible first dance song. So I'd be curious how people feel about being able to dance to this song. So that was my one thing. So I'm like, it's very sweet. It's like, you know, very on point. But like, could you dance to this song?
Yeah, it would be a slow dance.
Yeah.
But it is a very sweet song. Mm-hmm. Like, the sentiment of it is so sweet, especially for, like, a wedding song, and especially, yeah, as a first dance song at a wedding. I think it, like, the sentiment of it is perfect for that. But it's going to be a slow dance. Maybe yeah. You could do, like, half of it and then do, like, a record scratch and then go into something really
That's
spicy.
That's kind of what we were thinking, too.
Wicked. Yeah, like,
Yeah,
because we're between
I
like
put something in your
yeah, I guess that would be perfect.
That cannot be no, no, absolutely not.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're between that and like salsa music. So I'm like, oh man, those are very different.
We'll see. Swedish salsa,
Swedish salsa.
Yeah, maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
I mean, I've definitely been to weddings before where the first dance they start with something kind of slow and very sentimental, and then there's like a metaphorical record scratch, like, mm-hmm. And then they go into something. Because I have a friend who she married a guy from South Korea, and when they got married, that Gangnam Style song was still like everywhere, and so they started their first dance, and they did something very similar to that. It was mm-hmm. like just a very sweet, like, kind of old school slow dance song, and then all of a sudden they were like, wait, and then they went into the Gangnam Style dance and they did like a whole choreographed thing. And it's like, yeah, those two songs didn't really like mesh together, but like everybody enjoyed it and it was a hoot. So you can do it. It can be done.
It can be done. All right. Maybe we'll have to think about that.
What yeah. do you think about the song?
I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. And I haven't heard it. Is that a newer?
It's off their new album. Yeah, from this year. Their Palomino, it's called.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. I remember them kind of blowing up there about 8 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were everywhere. And they came to Denver at the Paramount or Ogden or something. I can't remember.
But okay.
Yeah, a friend invited me, and I said no. Yes. I didn't know Melanie. Oh,
I'll see a live show. But, doesn't matter who it is.
But yeah, but I like them. I like them, and I start thinking it's such a strange name for a band.
It's so weird.
First Aid Kit. Yeah. But then I start thinking, you know, given the context of the kind of sad songs we had here tonight, and then ending on such a positive note, yeah. First Aid Kit might be, you know. Mm. I can bat away the loneliness with a little first aid kit.
Yeah, true.
These Swedish sisters understand me.
They do.
Yeah. And did you get some ABBA notes in there?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
They played ABBA as we, like, at the end of the show.
Okay.
That was the exit music. It was ABBA. Mm-hmm. But I think we had heard from our friend that we went with, who's, like, a super first aid kit fan. Mm. He was, like, checking set lists before the show. And he was like, guys, they played ABBA in their encore, which they didn't do for the show we were at. They played On the Road Again for their encore for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely some influence. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah. Well, because they're from Sweden.
Right.
So. Yeah. I spent some time in Norway, and my Norwegian friend said, the Swedish, they're always Sweden, number one. It's always Sweden, Sweden, Sweden. You know? And I guess they always make fun of the Norwegians. That's sort of the dumb people that live to the. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think I looked up the reason for their name, and it was like something kind of like lame. I think it was like they were looking in a dictionary, you know, as children, because they started playing together pretty young and just saw that in the dictionary. And then they were like, this should be the name of our... Maybe I should fact check myself. That doesn't sound like...
No, that sounds... I mean, that's what you told me, because we were talking about it. And like my brain was like, they were young and little and they were playing music and like... The hall linen closet was open where the first aid kit is. And they're like, what should our band name be? And they look up and there's the first. And like, that's maybe what it was. But I don't know. It's so, it is an interesting.
Yeah. I'd love to like re-question them about that.
Like, yeah. Like really dig into it.
What did you think, Sergio?
So I first heard of First Aid Kit when Ellen was invited me to this concert. And I'll just say that I'm very picky about what concerts I go to, especially if I don't know what type of music or like who they are. I'm like, do I want to spend the money on that? I don't know. So I think as a way for Ellen to try to coerce me and to try to attend this concert, she sent me the song. And I think I was driving back home from here. And yeah, I thought it was a very romantic song. I think I probably shed a couple tears. I think it was the line of like, what is it like? I wish I hadn't met, or you're the last one I've ever met or something like that. Or like, I wish I had.
The last one I'll ever love.
Yeah. I just think that's a very sweet, very romantic line, which I think fits well with. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be a first dance song, but I think it would work well as a first dance song. Yeah. Yeah, I think dancing to it would probably, as you said, Molly, like slow dance or, I don't know, you could do like kind of a waltz maybe, but not really. But I did end up listening to the rest of the album after that. I did think this was the best song on that album, though.
Yeah, I heard them like eons ago when like that that Emmy Lou song was like blowing up everywhere. Mm-hmm. That was like when I first heard them, which yeah, I feel like it was like 8 or 9, 10. I mean, I feel like I listened to them in college, but it would have been longer ago. But anyway, and then kind of forgot about them. And then Ellen was like, oh, come. And I was like, oh, yeah, that band. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to the new album. And it's interesting because like it's not that I don't like them, but I just like they never interested me enough to like really get into it or to like seek out a live show. But after seeing them play live, I feel like now I'm a little bit more into them because they were really, really good and like really impressive. And all those like harmonies and the way they sound on the album, I mean, it sounds the same or better when they're live, which is... to me always like really impressive when it's not like studio polish to make it sound as good as it does. Mm-hmm. And they actually broke down in the middle. I feel like this is a trend with a lot of bands right now where like midway through their set, they like just go acoustic and like huddle around a microphone. I feel like the last like 4 shows I've been to, they've all done this. So they did that for a few songs and that was really impressive just to kind of watch them do that. But yeah, I mean, I think after seeing them live, I'm like more into their music, just kind of knowing how talented they are and like seeing that for myself. But yeah, they have obviously huge, they're basically 2 Swedish sisters.
Are they from Sweden?
Who like grew up just being obsessed with American country music.
Mm-hmm.
They just like from the youngest age were obsessed with like Emmylou Lou Harris, Dwight Yoakam, like all like the classics, and you can hear it in their music. I think I read somewhere that they played for Emmylou Harris once and made her cry, which like must be a huge honor for them. But yeah, you can definitely hear it, and yeah, they're super super talented. So
cool.
Yeah.
Anything else before we wrap this episode up?
I did one last thing about that song. It's real positive and everything, but it really sticks it to all the old boyfriends.
Yep.
When they wrote it, you know?
It's definitely
like,
did.
Yeah, how I wasted all my time before you.
Good thing I didn't invite them all to the wedding.
Yes.
I know. I was going to say how many old boyfriends.
I was thinking of a guy out there. Just like, and then right? You just look at him
When that line comes up, you like make direct.
Yeah.
You wasted my time. Yeah. Give it back to me.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty savage, like, I don't know, love song. You know, it's pretty rough to those ex-boyfriends.
Yeah, I remember them saying during the concert too that like this album was to make up for all the like depressing albums that they had before, because they were going through like breakups, and I don't know if both of them were, but it's like, yeah, it's not completely.
Yeah, they made some joke about how, like, yeah, we wanted this to be, like, our positive and upbeat album. And then, like, we listened back to it and we were like, nope, still the same. Still the same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps it up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can like and subscribe on YouTube, the LPMX Radio YouTube channel. You can also hop over to the Longmont Public Media YouTube channel and like and subscribe there. If you have comments or questions or music you want to listen to, make sure you leave it in the comments on the YouTube channel below this video. We'd love to hear your suggestions for music you'd like us to listen to, or corrections, anything that we said that was wrong. You can also catch replays of this on the LPMX radio station on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And yeah, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone.
Great. See ya.
Thank you.